Let's open in our Bibles to 2 Peter chapter 3. We're going to look at 2 Peter chapter 3, a few paragraphs here. And this doesn't at all sound like a Christmas passage, and technically it is not. But the more we explore it, the more we'll understand the relationship between Christmas, the first advent of Jesus, and Judgment Day, the second advent of Jesus. So I'm going to read from 2 Peter chapter 3, and I'm going to begin in verse 8. But do not overlook this one fact, beloved, that with the Lord one day is as a thousand years, and a thousand years as one day. The Lord is not slow to fulfill his promise, as some count slowness, but is patient toward you, not wishing that any should perish, but that all should reach repentance. But the day of the Lord will come like a thief, and then the heavens will pass away with a roar, and the heavenly bodies will be burned up and dissolved, and the earth and the works that are done on it will be exposed. That paragraph is not our text this morning. It's the context of what we're going to study. But I pray you would take this paragraph and set it aside as we approach this new year. Jesus is coming again. There are some of us here who have not repented of our sins and trust in him, and this passage begs you. Jesus is patient. Come to him before he comes again. And there are some of us who have trusted in Jesus Christ for our salvation, and right now we're piddling with the things of earth. We're building kingdoms with straw, and this passage begs us. Builds with eternal things. Jesus is coming, and he's coming with fire. That's the warning. Here's our passage. Listen for the working and waiting. Verse 11. Since all these things are thus to be dissolved, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness, waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be set on fire and dissolved, and the heavenly bodies will melt as they burn. But according to his promise, we are waiting for the new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you are waiting for these, be diligent to be found by him without spot or blemish and at peace. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, there's a lot here, and some of it seems very paradoxical, that we are to be waiting, but we're also to be working. That we are anticipating the earth and the heavens to dissolve and melt with fire, and yet we are to be at perfect peace. Teach us what sort of people we ought to be between the Advents, your first coming and your second coming. Would you do that this morning, we ask, in Jesus' name, amen. Well, as we've observed Advent this month, we've shared again and again that the word Advent, what we keep referring to, simply means appearing. When we say the word Advent with respect to Christmas, we mean that Jesus appears. He is born at Christmas. So if you take that into consideration, we now realize that there are two Advents of Jesus in our Bibles. There's the first Advent that we're celebrating now, the birth of Jesus to Mary and Joseph, his perfect life. That was his first appearing. That was his first advent. And now in our verses, we actually anticipate a second advent when Jesus will come again on a day we don't expect and judge the world and usher in his kingdom. Verse 11 asks a fantastic question. This is the Apostle Peter. This is the man who saw something of Jesus' first advent and is writing about his second advent. If Jesus' first advent was his appearing at Christmas and his second advent is his appearing any minute now for Judgment Day, verse 11, what sort of people ought you be in between the Advents. This is something, an era that we live in that is unique to New Testament believers. We've seen the first Advent. We're ready for the next Advent. What do we do in between? What sort of people ought we be today as we look back and we look forward? Paradoxically, the answer is that we should be a working people and that we should be a waiting people. We're to be a working people and we are to be a waiting people. First of all, let's talk about what Peter means when he says we are to be a working people. I'm using that word working, but I actually get it from a bunch of different words that appear to us in this passage that describe Christian living. Okay, so verse 11, what sort of people ought you to be in lives of holiness and godliness? Verse 14, be diligent to be found in him without spot or blemish. So I'm taking all those words, holiness, godliness, diligent, without spot, without blemish, and I'm pulling all of those words together and I'm thinking to myself, this looks like a lot of hard work. Right? Righteous living in this age looks like a lot of hard work. Now, I know that's a dangerous word, the word work, and it can get a bad rap in gospel-believing circles. And it should if we mean that by working, we are somehow earning God's favor or God's pleasure for us. We just talked about that from Ephesians 2 in the kids' sermon. If I think that by being a good, decent, moral person, that God will be favorable towards me, like he'll start to like me and he'll honor me on judgment day, maybe let me into heaven because of my good work, then that kind of good work should get a bad rap. It's bad good work. It's satanic and it has nothing to do with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if we understand the true meaning of Christmas, we won't be confused here. We know that Jesus is born to save his people from their sins, to do what we couldn't possibly do for ourselves. And so if we are saved by God's grace, we as Christians now turn around and work by God's grace so that we might be what Ephesians is going to tell us later, imitators of God. We need God's grace and salvation. We need it today in sanctification so that we will have it on the day of our glorification. That means working here in our passage is good, wholesome, a grace-infused response to salvation. When we work in the Christian life, we are actually looking back to the first Advent, to Christmas and to Easter and what Jesus has done in our salvation. And we're looking forward to the second Advent, which is described in our passage on Judgment Day. And we as believers, we get to work. We roll up our sleeves, we grab some tools, and we get to work. You know, it's very interesting to read through the Gospels in light of our stance between the Advents. We celebrate the first one today, and we look forward to the next one that's going to happen any minute now. And you quickly realize that towards the end of Jesus' life, which is the end of his first Advent, he told a bunch of parables that all say almost exactly the same thing. Have you ever noticed the grouping of parables? If you could pick the one thing that Jesus wanted to tell a story about to teach us at the end of his life, what would it be? It's this collection of parables in every gospel that repeats the same idea again and again and again and again. Let me say a few of these parables and you tell me if you can pick up the theme of what Jesus is talking about. He said the kingdom of heaven is going to come like the flood in Noah's day. In Noah's day, people were eating and drinking and marrying and giving in marriage, and the flood appeared at a time they least expected, and it was only Noah and his family who were ready and watching, who weren't surprised by it. Jesus said the kingdom of heaven is like a thief who comes in the middle of the night to surprise you. Blessed is the master who is waiting and is on guard for when the thief comes. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a wedding. There were 10 virgins that came to the wedding. 5 of them brought extra oil for their lamps. 5 of them did not. They were waiting for the bridegroom. He was delayed. When he came, the 5 wise women who were ready entered the wedding feast with him, and the 5 who weren't ready ran to get oil, and they didn't join the wedding feast. He said the kingdom of heaven is like a master who sets a servant over his house, and then the master, he goes on a long journey, and then he comes back at a time that the servant least expects, and he says, blessed is the servant whom his master finds working when he comes. Are you getting your mind around this theme that Jesus continues to build on? I mean, are you picking up what Jesus is putting down in these parables at the end of his first advent? Because we could actually keep going. We don't have time, but there are other stories that Jesus told. There are 2 men in the field. One is taken, one is left behind. There are 2 women at the grinding mill. One is ready, one is not. There's a man who gives his servants 5, 2, and 1 talents to invest, and then he comes to see what they've done with his money. There's the master who comes home early and is furious to find the lazy servant who is drunk and mistreating his servants. And then there's the story of the master who comes home late and is thrilled to find his servant dressed and ready and diligent to receive him and greet him when he comes, and so on and so on and so on. At the end of Jesus's first advent appearing, his mind is completely occupied and absorbed with his second advent and his second coming, and he urges and begs his disciples, I'm leaving now. My first advent is over. Be ready for my coming. Please be working. Be ready for the advent that will appear. Luke 12:35. Stay dressed for action and keep your lamps burning, and be like men who are waiting for their master to come. Be ready, for the Son of Man is coming at an hour you do not expect. I promise you, if you're ready and you think you know when he's coming, he's not coming then. He's coming when you least expect. Working for the Christian between the Advents is then part of our waiting. Right work prepares us for the Master's coming. Wrong work distracts us from the Master's coming. There's a kind of working that gets us ready, and there's a kind of working that clouds our vision for the coming that will happen at every moment, which is a little unsettling, because I would describe every single person in this room as busy. We are busy, 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 especially at Advent, especially during Christmas. We're busy. We're busy at home. We're busy at work. We're busy at school. We're busy with friends. We are busy, busy, busy. But is it the kind of busyness that gets us ready for our Master? Is it working in our waiting? So Peter says this is the kind of person we ought to be. We ought to be a working person, but we also, number 2, ought to be waiting people. Did you notice that Peter says the word waiting 3 times in 3 verses? What kind of people ought we be between the Advents? Waiting, waiting, waiting people. He says we should be waiting for these things. He says we should be waiting for and hastening the coming of the day of God. He says we should be waiting for the new heavens and the new earth in which righteousness dwells. Waiting, waiting, waiting. We are a working people, but we are also a waiting people. You know, I'm not a dog person, and I'm never going to be a dog person. Okay? It's amazing how controversial that is. I think some people are going to leave this church over that. And some people are going to join this church over that. I mean, they're going to say, this is a pastor I can trust. He's not a dog person. The only time I'm actually tempted to be a dog person is when I get home from work, right? That's the only time anybody is truly a dog person. Because a dog is waiting for you, right? As soon as you pull in the driveway, the head pops in the window, and there's barking, and there's wagging, and you come in the door, and he's jumping on you, and he's lapping you, and that's annoying any other time of the day, except when you get home from work, and someone is waiting for you. The cat's over there in the corner. It just kind of turns in your direction and says, oh, it's you. Your wife is in the other corner. She kind of turns and nods and says, oh, it's you. Thought it was my Amazon Prime. But a dog is waiting, right? A dog is anticipating, waiting, knows the time, and is ready. The Apostle Peter says, a Christian is a dog person and not a cat person. A Christian could learn something from the dog. We are a waiting and anticipating people. It's amazing how many times the Bible says we're not just waiting, but we are eagerly waiting the second advent of the Lord Jesus Christ. We've got our noses pressed to the glass, looking out at the driveway, and we are saying, what is taking him so long? It's been like 2,000 years. Where is he? I didn't realize 1,000 years was like a day, and a day was like 1,000 years. To Jesus, it's been 2 days. To us, we are eagerly waiting and longing for the second advent, the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. Awaiting people have a totally different perspective of time than a worldly person. The world sees time going. The waiting person sees time coming towards us. The world sees time slipping away, but the waiting person sees time arriving and getting closer. The world sees time winding down and spending itself. The hours are draining out of the hourglass, but the waiting person sees time building. I don't know when he's going to come. All I know, it's a day less time than it was yesterday. The best is in store. The best is yet to come. The best will greet us at an hour we don't expect for the believer who is waiting for the appearing of Jesus. Friends, I pray a lot of things for you this Advent season. I pray, above all, that as you look back at the first Advent and the surprise it was that Jesus appeared in Bethlehem to the little audience that got to gather around him and celebrate his first appearing, and as you look forward in the book of 2 Peter to his second coming, I pray, above all, that Jesus finds you waiting and working and at peace for his appearing. Let's pray together. One of the earliest prayers in a church that suffered, Lord, a church that was persecuted, a church that was marginalized, a church that was just hungry to be at home with their Savior. One of the earliest prayers the church prayed was Maranatha. Come, Lord Jesus, come. Will you answer that prayer? Will you arrive? Will you find us eagerly waiting and working for the glorious day of the Lord Jesus Christ? Come, Lord Jesus, come. We ask in his name. Amen.